Let's take a trip back in time. So strap yourselves in tight. It's time for Bobby and Jason's awesome 80s podcast.
Hey now.
And away we go.
Jason, doesn't this get you excited, that intro?
Yeah, every time. I mean, she's great.
I think she's sexy, man. I love the British accent.
I don't know about sexy. I like the robotic action.
I dig it.
Yeah.
So we are here live in Las Vegas on tape, episode number...
Nueve.
Number nine, baby.
Gold star.
Bobby and Jason's awesome 80s podcast in the house.
In the house, and we had an awesome 80s week. Let's put it that way.
We did. We're going to get into that, and we're going to recap episode 8. I think Jason found something.
Jason just didn't find something. Well, you know what? I want to say everything out there. It's to say something to everybody out there in awesome 80s nation. First, I do appreciate you helping me out, finding the little glitches with Bob.
Oh, yeah. It's like finding Waldo. Like, let's find a glitch.
Yeah, but if Waldo was, like, you know, 6 feet tall with everyone. So the one thing I have to tell you, each and every one of you party people out there, I'm a little disappointed in you. Just a little bit. So I still love you, but I'm a little disappointed in you.
Oh, please tell why.
Well, you Captain Jumble over here. You should see the studio. In the studio, we've got Star Wars stuff all over the place. I'm talking like we're serious Star Wars.
One day you'll see the studio, and you'll see.
And Bob just did a little jumble with C-3PO. Called him who?
I said three before I said C.
Which was C-3PO's little, you know, special
So that
cousin.
Was that was Bobby's glitch of the week.
And no one caught that.
My brain fart. And, you know, I was so excited to talk about Star Wars, Rogue One, R2-D2, and Mr. C-3PO himself.
That's right.
So, yeah, I got busted.
That's okay. See, I just enjoy that. I don't want you to, you know, get upset
I'm
or
not
anything.
Upset. I'm not. You know what? If you didn't find it, I bet somehow it would have came out someday. So,
well, they caught your marathon.
It's always good to get it out in the open.
you just make it so much more fun, bro.
And then, yeah, that was a really small glitch. I said 26.1 miles, and of course, I know it's 26.2 miles. And thank you. Who pointed that one out?
I think a couple people did.
Oh, jeez.
Yeah, a couple people did, which is pretty. I don't know anything about marathons.
Well, like I said, that little 0.1 was just like that was a special part that I didn't have to do.
Yeah, well, you know those special marathons.
You know, I'm a special. I'm a limited edition, man. Limited edition. That's what my wife calls me.
That's pretty good. I like that.
She says you're limited edition.
That's pretty good. I like that.
So, you want to recap? What did we did that whole Miami Vice deal?
Yeah, I learned more about Miami Vice.
I mean, Mr. Wikipedia himself.
Yes.
Marlon Dow.
Mm-hmm. Straight from the mind. He's not reading anything.
No, he's not. He's not. He actually knows these facts, and it's great, man. He reminds me of a lot of things that I personally forgot.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And then we did 1989.
Yeah, 1980 was a very good year.
That's the Taylor Swift album cover and name, and we just went back in 1989 and pointed out some things that happened, like the McDonald's pizza that Jason loves.
Ooh, yes. I still feel it in my stomach right now.
Bro, speaking of pizza, I will give you credit. So we had a pretty fun weekend.
And it was an awesome weekend.
Well, it's the Awesome 80s podcast, so of course it was awesome. But he introduced me to Secret Pizza in the Cosmopolitan on the Las Vegas Strip. And pretty cool. There's no signs when you arrive. There's just this long hallway with all these album covers from the past. And
it's secret.
And it's very vintage and very cool. And this long hallway leads you to this little pizzeria. It's old school looking. It's got, you know, some pinball machines. It's got Galactica in there. And just these guys back there cooking away. And there was a line out the door of at least 50 people. So that tells you they're doing something right.
When we got that, we even posted a picture up.
Yeah, and I stood in line for almost 45 minutes getting a pizza.
Bob took one for the team.
I sure did.
Thanks, bro.
No, but the pizza was really good. I did enjoy it. But before the pizza, tell everybody where we were.
Oh, you know what we did? We did the Huey Lewis thing.
Huey Lewis and the news, the new news.
The new news. That's right.
It's funny. I was looking on stage. Huey's doing his thing, sounding great. And I was like, where's the guy with the cigarette? And Jason's like, no, man, they're all gone. They got all these young guys now.
Yeah, there's only like two original dudes.
Yeah, because I always remember that guy, the bass. I guess he was the bass player.
Yeah, the bass player, yeah.
He was cool. He was cool. But I enjoyed it. Huey was playing all the hits. He was making jokes about. So yeah, I know you guys came here. You want to hear some of my new stuff, and you know, and everybody's like, no, boo. We want to hear Power and Love. We want to hear Stuck on You. All those, and then he just kept playing hit after hit.
Yeah, it was great. Yeah, we had a little lubrication, and it was like on the beach.
Had a couple beers.
And I will say one little thing here. The on the beach. You're supposed to bring your own towels. They don't tell you to bring towels.
Yes.
So I had to, you know, I bought a towel for us, and it was like $28.
But here's the thing. Jason had towels in the car.
Yeah, but I wasn't
good. But that was about a mile walk to get, because the parking garages, you have to remember, the Mandalay Bay is so big. So it's a hike.
So yeah, and the whole place is all done like a, if you've ever been out here to Vegas, it's all done like a beach. So there's the beach, and then there's like an island where the band's playing. So you can actually go in the water and have
right.
doing
and
that.
And actually the best seats in the house is if you go in the water up to your neck, and you're like right there at the stage. Yeah. What's up, Huey? Jump in, man.
So he came out, and he did my absolute favorite Huey Lewis song is, what's the one? It's not Stuck on You. It's the If This Is It.
Oh, yeah. That's a great song.
Dude, as soon as he hit that, we were like, yeah.
That was a jam. Yeah, he was great. He sounded great. And I don't know if anybody knows, but he's 66 years old.
I couldn't believe it.
It's unbelievable.
The guy looks the same.
Guy's got his hair. Sounds great. Has the voice. Has the energy. And he had some of the horn section there, which I love.
I love
the sax and everything. Yeah. He played the harmonica, which he's very famous for. And he put on a good show. But it didn't last as long as we had thought. Jason kind of, you know, was like, damn, is that it? It's like, where's he going to bed?
Well, it's because I'm used to the last concert I've seen Paul McCartney like 3 or 4 times
right.
throughout the years. And Paul just goes up there, and he's like 76 or something right now.
Nonstop.
3 hours.
Yeah,
Huey. It was 3 hours.
I think Huey did 90 minutes.
Yeah.
But anyway, it was a good show.
Yeah, it was great. So what kind of 80s stuff is in the news this week? Anything hit you?
You had mentioned sort of, I guess it's late 80s, early 90s.
Well, I noticed just the other day that Lou Pearlman died. And he's the guy who discovered NSYNC and...
he's the boy band man,
yeah,
right?
Backstreet Boys and LFO. I always liked that song, Summer Girls, and O-Town and whatnot.
Yeah, I mean, but he put together some major acts.
Yeah, but, you know, I read this Vanity Fair article on the guy. And
kind of slimy.
Kind of really just pulling back the curtain. You know what I'm saying?
Do you know, he's not the original, though, for boy bands. I think I give credit more to Maury Starr.
Yes.
New Edition. New Kids on the Block.
Yes.
I mean, they were before all those other groups, and I mean, they were big, big, giant acts.
Yeah, well, that's what happened with Lou Pearlman. Lou Pearlman owned a couple airplanes or whatnot, and they used to be chartered by the New Kids on the Block.
Right.
And what he did was, when he flew them around and saw how much attention they were getting, he said,
I got to jump on this bandwagon.
That's what he did down in Orlando. He got those guys.
I guess he's a good businessman, maybe not such a great person.
He died in prison from a $300 million Ponzi scheme.
Okay, well, there you go. There you go.
So that was something interesting that I thought, because, you know, being in the business, you know, you meet all kinds of people in this business, you know.
Yep. So you remember Top Gun with Tom Cruise?
Yeah.
Da-na. So I heard rumors. I'm not sure 100% true, but I hear they're going to be working on Top Gun 2, starring Tom Cruise and Val Kilmer coming back as the Iceman.
Wow.
So that's such an iconic 80s movie.
It's going to be, they're going to have to bring like their kids or something like that.
I mean, Tom Cruise is looking good. He's in great shape. Val Kilmer, I'm not sure about.
Oh, man, last time I saw
Val
Kilmer.
Val's been through some stuff.
He's been doing his best. Late model Marlon Brando. The last time I
saw him. Yeah, I mean he's kind of a special dude, but he's a great actor though. He's very good.
He's a phenomenal actor. He's just special.
So let me go off board here. This has nothing to do with the 80s, 90s, or anything.
Off the rails.
But this is funny. I thought this was really funny. So I'm cruising on eBay, and you know you've been on eBay, right?
Sure.
You know I like to buy things there. So I see a listing. and it's an Art Deco emerald wedding dress, size 6. Okay. So this, wow. Yeah, she's selling her wedding dress, but the description is awesome. So this is what she says.
This is great.
She says, beautiful dress. Hope that it offers the new wearer more luck than I had. They say green is unlucky. So obviously the dress is green. She goes, selling the dress to pay for my divorce after he walked out on me. And now is leaving me to pay. So, yeah, she's putting her whole personal life on eBay. And you know what's funny? This dress is getting bid up because of this story she gave. And I just thought it was funny,
I think that's great. Yeah. Are you kidding me? Yeah. That's...
So, yeah, this is not only the Awesome 80s Podcast. This is the Awesome 80s Gossip Podcast.
That's right. Well, it's the Bobby and Jason, whatever the hell we find funny.
Exactly, man. Exactly. So I'm pretty excited. Because our little buddy,
oh, Buttons,
Mr. Buttons, is in the house. What's up, buddy?
What's going on?
Hello, Chops.
There he is. There he is. And for you party people, Marlon has a bag of Mike and Ike's, and he doesn't want to share.
There's nothing worse than watching somebody on TV that you know you can't get any of that from.
See, for you people listening, we are watching Marlon on Skype.
Yes.
Well, now you know you have to bring your mic next to the table.
There you go.
You're right.
So, little buddy, you did your homework again, as always.
Yes, I did. I have this incredible list of 80s bad guy characters.
Ooh, nice. This is great. You are the Wikipedia, man, I'll tell you.
We love the bad guys.
Yes.
We love the bad guys. It's always been my dream as an actor to play a bad guy, but
of course.
I'm too cute. So
yeah, exactly. I mean,
this is true.
So okay. Why don't you start it off?
All right, here we go. Now, do you guys remember Chucky from Child's Play?
Oh, of course. Chucky.
Do you remember when Chucky said, "Hi, I'm Chucky. Wanna play?"
Oh, Bob, nice.
That was really good.
Do you remember that?
That was from 1988. It was voiced by the talents of Brad Dourif. And
I didn't know that.
To spawn a sequel, and it was a good movie. I remember Chucky freaked me out, even though it was a little boy doll, and I remember being scared shitless.
Well, actually, Chucky, wasn't he a good guy doll, right? It was supposed to be some kind of product they sold in the toy stores.
Yeah, that's right.
And then
that's
it was possessed by the soul of this crazy serial killer.
Yeah, that is an awesome example of an 80s horror movie, but, right there, Chucky.
I agree, Marlon. That character scared the shit out of me, too. I mean,
yeah.
You know, it was cute, and then it became not cute.
Absolutely. So Jay, what do you think? You did see that movie when you...
Oh, Child's Play? Oh my God, yeah. That movie was one of those things that just completely freaked you out.
Haunted you.
It haunted you because it was back in that whole time, and I'm sure you're going to hit a couple more of these bad guys where you'd be watching. It's like Child's Play, Nightmare on Elm Street, Friday the 13th, all those scary things, you know, I mean.
So, yeah. Right. So the plot was that he wanted to transfer his soul right to the little boy. He was trying to become into a human being from the doll.
That was his objective, was to be human. So we're glad that didn't happen.
I think it's such an iconic, the doll, the look with the blood and the scars and the knife. I mean, it's such an iconic look.
And the voice. I mean, look, even now, nowadays, John Gruden, on the famous football coach, for anybody out there who knows, he does Monday Night Football now. He's known as Chucky because he has that face.
Exactly.
You know?
Yeah. Give me your best Chucky voice doing the line.
Oh, man, I can't touch yours. I'm not even walking in on that.
I'm sorry, bro.
Sorry, oh, man. No way.
I got the villain voice.
Perfect.
So what else you got, Mar?
All right, so my number two, and guys, you know, this is a pretty interesting one, but do you remember Alex Forrest from Fatal Attraction?
Oh, my God, yeah.
I remember the famous scene, the legs crossing scene.
Oh, yeah.
She was diabolical.
Yes.
I mean, that was, can I say this, one crazy bitch.
Yes, I agree with you.
Absolutely.
And you never think you're going to meet someone like that in real life, but as you get older, they pop up.
Bro, she's the kind
of one. Guys, here you go. This is the reason. This is why you probably wouldn't meet that character, because you wouldn't cheat on your wife.
That's right. You're so
exactly, bro. I mean, if that's your woman, though, you're sleeping with two eyes open.
Yes.
I'm sorry.
Exactly. If that's your woman, you got some serious issues.
But yeah, she made.
All right. We're moving right along.
Okay. Who else you got?
All right. So, now this is one of my favorite bad guy characters of the 80s, Gordon Gekko.
Ooh,
oh man,
greed is good.
Yes, greed, for a lack of a better word, is good.
Oh yeah,
that's right, brother. You got it, boy.
He is the man. Oh my God.
I don't know if he's the man like that.
You know what
Wall
it is?
Street back then. You know?
But he encompasses what Wall Street and greed was in the time of the 80s, because it was all about making money.
Yes. When you look at how much Bud Fox, which was Charlie Sheen,
exactly
before Charlie Sheen went off the rails.
Yes.
Right. The great Michael Douglas, you know, an Oscar that was pretty much right in his back pocket. It was a great performance.
It was.
And mind you, this is 1987, so these guys are right in the fits of it.
But here's the thing. Gordon Gekko has been such an iconic character. It even influences films much later. Like, do you remember Boiler Room?
Yes.
Well, Boiler Room, Vin Diesel was reciting Gordon Gekko his words. So even in the most recent movies, he's still alive.
He's become part of the culture, is what
pretty
he is.
Pretty much.
When you mention him, you just know exactly what it means.
That's a great one, Mark.
Thank you. All right. Now, this is another one of my favorite 80s bad guys. I remember I was invited to the Philadelphia premiere of this movie back in 1988. Hans Gruber from Die Hard.
Oh,
yeah. He's definitely one of my favorites. He's awesome.
Hans Gruber.
Yippee-ki-yay, motherfucker.
That's hey, I thought this was a PG-rated show.
Man, we drop one F-bomb. It's okay.
Well, Hans Gruber was played beautifully, intelligently, and smartly by the always reliable Alan Rickman.
Yes.
Who is a great character actor who passed away earlier this year.
Yeah, earlier this year. They have that I can't even do the voice, but his voice is like...
He's awesome.
Alan Rickman.
I think he's from Britain, right? If I'm correct. He's British. Alan Rickman.
I think he's English. I think he's English.
He did it.
Yeah. He's definitely from England. He did a lot of Broadway plays out in England. He's a theater guy. And when he played Hans Gruber, he hadn't really played any bad guys at all. This is kind of his first bad guy character.
Right.
And I felt like he upstaged Bruce Willis.
I totally agree with you on that.
He was awesome. I mean, he did a German accent that was flawless.
And in his whole personality of it, here's a little fun fact for you. If you watch where they drop him off the building, I remember seeing this somewhere, at the end when he's falling off, that look on his face, that terror, is actually real, because they dropped him. They were supposed to drop him on 4. He's at 1, 2, 3, 4, and they dropped him on 3. So when he said he thought the ropes broke, which is when you look and you see his face when he's falling off the building, like he's terrified.
Right.
He's really terrified.
Yeah, absolutely. No, he was just... He was the reason why I liked Die Hard. Everybody else liked Bruce Willis, but I was crazy about Alan Rickman's character.
I agree. I love that. Crazy about Alan Rickman.
He was great.
Okay. Now, here's another one. And it's really interesting because the last time I was at Bobby's house, you know, Bobby's got this incredible movie collection. And he told me, you know, pick out any movie you want to watch, blah, blah, blah. I said, you know what? I'm going to go down there and check out. And I picked out the box set. A Nightmare on Elm Street. Freddy Krueger, baby.
Oh man, terrifying character.
Freddy Krueger.
He haunts your dreams.
Yes, he does. A lot of people got their first hits in movies by being people that were killed by Freddy. I remember Johnny Depp.
Johnny Depp.
The first one.
Johnny Depp got killed. Yes.
Yep.
That's right. And this is really interesting about you know, how everything came into fruition with that movie. New Line Cinema was actually going bankrupt. They did a lot of independent films, blah, blah, blah. And what happened is this screenplay came in, and it actually saved New Line Cinema from going into bankruptcy. And it's actually a joke. It's called The House That Freddy Built because of the success.
That's awesome.
Of the Nightmare on Elm Street series.
I thought the character was really original because, you know, there's a lot of scary people like Jason and Jason
Voorhees. Hey, now.
Yeah, but remember Freddy vs. Jason?
Robert Englund.
But I mean, the idea to haunt your dreams, to when you're sleeping, it was a great concept.
Yeah, you have no protection.
It's and just, I think Wes Craven is the man behind it.
Yeah, right. Smart so, horror guy.
And the actor behind Freddy was Robert Englund.
Yeah, awesome.
You know, he's another actor that really wasn't well known with a lot of other characters he played, but this made him a superstar.
And that sweater, man, that sweater is so famous.
Oh yeah, you can't wear anything like that anymore ever in culture.
No.
Yeah.
What else you got, buddy?
All right. So moving on. Now, this next character, pretty much, I don't know. There's been bad guys, you know, that's come and gone, but this bad guy will never ever be forgotten. And that is Tony Montana from Scarface 1983.
Oh, my God.
Oh, yeah. I'll let you do it. Go ahead. It's all you. All you.
I don't want to do anything. Tony Montana is one of my all-time favorite characters. Al Pacino just killed it.
Yeah, I love Pacino.
Yeah.
He just killed it. Say hello to my little friend.
I knew you'd do it.
There you go.
Hey, bro, you should be an actor.
Oh, there. Well, thank you. You should be, too. So, Mar, didn't, in the production of Scarface, didn't they take over South Beach down in Miami?
Yeah. It's actually, at its time, usually they've done films in L.A. and New York, but Brian De Palma said, you know, I'm going to go definitely down to Miami and do it right down in there, and I thought it was a great job he did.
Smart.
It added so much to the film, just the backdrop of the Art Deco of the time, and it captured it.
Yeah, no, it did a great job. And, you know, Al Pacino, you know, he really submerged himself into his character. You know, the camera guys that worked with him were actually, they're Cuban. Cuban descent. And so Al Pacino said, I don't want you to talk to me in English. I want you to talk to me in Spanish. So he can get the feel and the mannerisms of that character. He nailed it.
Yeah, I mean, he had the accent. He, you know, it was great. He was, there couldn't have been another guy to pull that off, I don't think.
No, not at all.
And it's one of those movies and characters that, please don't remake this film. Do not touch it. Leave it.
It'll happen.
The sad thing about it is I think they're thinking about redoing this film. Antoine Fuqua is he's the guy that directed The Equalizer and he directed Training Day. He's contemplating reemerging this character.
Well, you know, those two films are incredible. So I don't know, man.
Look, man, they just redid Ben-Hur. They're going to redo Ben-Hur. They don't give a shit.
Marlon, how do you feel about them possibly remaking Scarface?
Oh, absolutely not. That's not even a conversation piece. I'm just going to put flat out no.
Okay, agreed.
So what else you got on the list?
Okay, and here's another one of my favorite, and this is at the tail end of the 80s. This is 1989. And the great Jack Nicholson did Joker.
Oh, man.
Oh, yeah.
It's funny. The Batman movie in 89, that was the first one in a long list that's come until now. And that character that Jack Nicholson played, the Joker, was incredible.
Yeah, he made the movie. Right.
He was just comical. I mean, just everything he did was over the top. He was funny. I mean, he was a villain, but I don't know. He had that humor in him.
Good yeah, call. And the great thing about that character that Jack Nicholson played, he said it is his favorite character. Now, you're talking about a guy who's been nominated for an Oscar like well over 20 times. He said this is his favorite character, not to mention he did not receive an upfront salary. He took a percentage of the gross of the film. Now, you're talking about a movie domestically that made over $251 million.
Wow.
foreign, it made $161 million for a total of $411 million.
And in 1989, that's a hell of a lot of money.
Yeah, that's a ton of cash.
That means he took home $60 million for that character.
Maybe that's why it's his favorite.
Yeah, we can't blame him.
But, no, he killed it. I mean, they say that the Joker, you know, is Batman's first and biggest nemesis. So,
right.
It's funny because the movie's called Batman, but I felt like the movie was the Joker's movie.
Yeah.
At least that one. Right, right. Because, at least that one.
Because of Nicholson.
Yes.
Yeah, absolutely.
And speaking of Jokers, I thought that besides Jack, my favorite Joker was Heath Ledger. Much, you know, more in
these
times.
Much more current. He was much more, yeah.
And then, of course...
Yeah, I'm going to agree with you on that, Bob. I actually, you know, I remember when, you know, all the hoopla about this guy playing this character. How is he going to, you know, there's no way he's going to upstage Jack Nicholson's character. But I was really taken aback by Heath Ledger's portrayal of the Joker. He did a fantastic job.
He did.
He really submerged himself in that character. And I felt like for the comic book, I thought he really embodied what this character was supposed to be. So.
Yep, you did. All right, I got one more. I'm going to round this list up. I picked one that you didn't pick. And do you guys remember Dick Jones, the character?
The name is so familiar.
He was played by Ronnie Cox, and it was in RoboCop in 1987.
Oh, yeah.
So he was also the asshole in Total Recall.
Oh. Right.
But you know what's funny about that actor? That Ronnie Cox was so loved in Beverly Hills Cop.
That's right.
It showed you that he can play both sides of the coin.
Right,
that's
very well.
Versatility right there.
You know, I loved him in Beverly Hills Cop, but I did love him in RoboCop and also in Total Recall. Do you guys like those?
Oh, yeah.
Iconic 80s. Total Recall is one of my favorite movies. I love Total Recall. And the reason why I love Total Recall so much was because of Sharon Stone's character. Sorry.
It's okay.
There's nothing wrong with that.
Nothing wrong with that at all.
All right, little buddy, man, you really brought it to the table.
Yeah, thanks, Marlon.
And, you know, that was... fucking awesome. Can I say that?
Yes, yeah, we can say whatever we want.
I do it for my awesome 80s family, bro.
Yeah.
We are family.
That's
so,
right.
I'm sure he's going to come with something next week. I can't imagine what, and I can't wait.
Wait either.
Yeah, you know I'm researching every day, brother.
All right, homie. We'll see you on episode 10.
All right, Marlon.
All right.
Take care,
thanks,
buddy.
Guys.
Always, always great hearing from Marlon, I'll tell you.
Yep, he's our little buddy, and he always brings some interesting things to the table. He educates me every week.
Yeah, I always learn a lot.
So, okay, so now he did some of the villains of the 80s. So I have a little list of the biggest douchebags of the 80s.
What a great word!
Don't you love that? Douchebags.
Douchebag, great word. Douche. Everybody say it along with us. Douchebag.
Douchebag.
Great.
So here you go. I got a quote from a film.
Right.
And I want to see if you know who this is. Who said, "Why don't you make like a tree and get out of here?"
Hey, McFly, that's Biff.
Wow, you are on that shit.
Hey.
Biff Tannen from Back to the Future. And who was a bigger douchebag than Biff?
Nobody. He was great.
I mean, he just bothered the hell out of Marty. And,
"Why don't you make like a tree
and get out of here?" I mean, he's so stupid and... But he was kind of lovable in a way. And then they had Old Man Biff. Remember Old Man Biff? Stealing the almanac and shit.
He was an oaf. That's what he was.
But that was
a lovable oaf.
That was one douchebag. I got another one. Who said this? "You two donkey dicks couldn't get laid in a morgue."
I just drew a blank. Okay. I know it.
You know this one. This is Chet Donnelly. From Weird Science.
Yes.
Chet.
Oh, you two, yes.
Yeah, he's like, "You two donkeys couldn't get laid in a morgue." Chet was a big douchebag.
Chet was awesome. Hello, Harley.
Harley's barking. Just don't mind that. Hold on.
There we go, ladies and gentlemen. It's our second guest of the show.
We're going to try and roll with this. Harley, be quiet. go outside. Hold on. We'll be right back.
And we're back.
We are back. We got control of the Frenchie, Harley the Frenchie. She was losing her mind for a minute. And I think, you know what it is? This podcast, it gets Harley excited.
Yeah, you can't blame her. Come on.
You know, hey. So we were talking about Chet, good old Chet the douchebag from Weird Science. And yeah, man, he was great. You know what's funny? You know what I love at the end? When, remember Kelly LeBrock, the hot Kelly LeBrock?
Yes.
Remember when she turned him into a pile of shit at the end?
It was great. No one more deserved it.
That douchebag deserved it. So, okay. We're moving on. Now, this is a trifecta of douchebaggery. Is that a word?
That's a great word. No, I heard the word douchebaggery.
This actor is the king of douchebags. There is in the 80s. He was the man. He owned it. And
what an award.
Do you remember Greg Tolan, the character? Greg Tolan. Does it ring a bell?
Yes.
Just One of the Guys.
Yes.
Okay, you remember the blonde guy?
Yes.
Okay. He was Greg Tolan. Remember, he was such an asshole, man.
A complete perfect.
Do you remember he in the lunchroom where he said, okay, guys, remember he was always about his muscles and lifting? And he'd lift up the table and they'd have to sit there with their trays. And he's like, don't move. You know, he's doing his workout.
Perfect.
He was a total dick. But he also played other characters just like that douche. Remember Johnny Lawrence?
Yes.
Johnny Lawrence from The Karate Kid. That's probably his most famous role.
He had the most punchable face.
He did, man. Like, he was a good-looking dude, but he had that douchebag look.
Yes.
Like, that asshole. Like, the kind of guy you just, you know, like the quarterback. I don't know, man.
You want him to lose is what it is. You look at him, and everybody can relate, and he just looks like you want to punch him in the face.
But he was great in The Karate Kid. I mean, he really was a perfect casting for that role.
Sweep the leg.
And then there's one more that this actor played, Chaz. Do you remember Chaz from Back to School?
Yes.
With Rodney Dangerfield?
Yeah.
Again, another douchebag character. He was on the swim team. He was picking on the skinny kid, you know, Rodney.
Skinny kids. Yeah, go skinny kids.
Exactly. So, yeah, I mean, the actor's name was William Zabka, I think.
Zabka?
Yeah, and he's hands down the biggest douchebag actor characters of the 80s.
Of the 80s. I completely agree. Bob, look at you bringing it.
I brought
bringing
it.
The stuff that the
I
people want
the
to hear.
I brought douchebags. People want to talk about douchebag. I like to say the word douchebag.
That's great. I think we probably said about 50 times.
The douchebags.
Douchebags.
So, party people, we've come to that time in the show where we talk about the show.
The show.
Dun, dun, dun. The show. So, we have some Facebook comments.
Yes, we have some questions.
Some questions. I'm going to read this first one. This is from Carolyn, and I will not try to pronounce your last name because I will butcher it. Anyway, she goes, Bobby and Jason, I loved your lip syncs back on the show. And she put it in parentheses. It's great. We got everybody out there doing it.
That's right.
She said, I laugh every time you say that. And I remember the Wham ones. And when Bob took off his glasses on the Valentine's Day show, I remember it too. They froze my face.
We all remember it. Bob, hey, Bob, can you share Careless Whisper?
No, I can't.
It's part of my childhood.
You know, it's a copyright issues. Anyway, here's her first question. What other lip syncs did you guys do besides the Careless Whispers?
Ooh, what a good question.
We did Edge of Heaven, I think, was the first.
Right. That was the first one.
Number two was Freedom.
Yep.
Right? Freedom. We did Wham Rap. Not sure where that fell. Maybe third or fourth.
That was the third one. That's when they changed the lights for us and did all kinds of stuff for us.
That was one of my favorites was Wham Rap. That was a lot of fun with the spray paint.
Yeah.
But
the whole way we set it up. Yeah.
I know a big favorite is the Christmas one. Last Christmas.
Last Christmas. That's a big
and
favorite.
You know, it's funny. Jason and I came up with all these props, and we brought them from home, and we set that whole thing up. We had a little story. We were doing a little acting, you know? Yeah. We had the Casio there.
Oh, and my fabulous keyboard player.
We had the you know, the fictitious picture frame with the scorn girlfriend and all that shit. And it was cool. We had a Christmas tree, and we had our those big trench coats on.
Those big, they were big sailor jackets.
Right, like we took them off, and it was great. That was a lot of fun.
That was a lot of fun.
That was probably one of my favorites to perform, just because of the props and the story behind it.
And I'm surprised too, also at the way it's resonated with everybody. Like that one always comes up.
Yep.
You know, what else did you do? What other ones did you do?
After
you did, just you know.
You know, I did a couple of Richard Marx songs. Back you know, after you left the show, I'll admit this. I did a New Kids on a Block lipstick.
Oh, yeah. It was.
I did too. I did Step by Step.
Oh, no kidding.
Yeah, I did Step by Step, and I did, that one.
If anybody has those and they want to send them to me,
please, we do not want to see Bobby doing New Kids on the Block. But she also asked, is there anything that you wish you did do that you weren't able to, lip-sync-wise?
Well, let me see. I was planning on doing Bryan Adams.
Love Bryan Adams.
Cuts Like a Knife.
He's awesome, man.
But, I don't know. I mean, I would have thought you and I would have done a couple more.
Do you know which one I wish we had done on the show? We've done it in public appearances. Is Everything She Wants?
Yes, Everything She Wants.
We that was one of my favorites. Especially if you do Everything She Wants, you have to do the extended version.
Yes,
because there's a lot of meat there at the end.
That's
man.
The best part.
It really is.
They edited all that stuff out. I'm sure it was the label that made
we,
it.
We you know, it's something we always used to do in our lip syncs. We would throw fake Monopoly money. And that all started with Freedom. Do
yes.
you remember?
Uh-huh.
And then when we went on the road doing performances, we were throwing money at every show. It was fun, man.
And, and people would come up afterwards and they'd ask us
to sign the Monopoly money. So yeah. There's a little fun fact.
That was a real good fun fact. Look at that. Good questions.
The other question, and this is a good one. What other lip syncs by other people on the show, other regulars, did you like?
I can tell you the one that really sticks out in my head is the one that Princess did with the bags.
That was pretty awesome and very creative. I liked that one too.
Madhouse, I think she did.
I also liked Eddie O'Neill when he did Billy Idol.
Yes.
Because Eddie kind of had that Billy Idol look, and he really did a great job.
He really looked, yeah, he looked the part. Like when you were watching it, it's like one of those things where you're watching him look. Oh, one other thing I remembered was I really enjoyed doing and liked Joe White's lip syncs.
Oh yeah, of course.
Like the we did Wild in the Streets.
But he had that whole rocker kind of Bon Jovi look, and he did a really good job. And yeah, he would put us in there too. You know, it was kind of fun.
So yeah, that was, I would say, yeah, those were some of my favorite ones right there. Those were them.
I also liked I think Lillian had did Madonna.
Oh yeah. She did a couple
Madonnas.
She did
a pretty good job with that. And Annette Pizzo did Madonna also with Walt Jeffries as a backup dancer.
Yeah.
And that was pretty cool too.
I remember that one. They had like, I think they had like chairs. They did some chair dance or something.
Basically they copied exactly what Madonna did on her appearance on Dancing on Air.
Wow.
You know,
that's
back in the day, I think it was Everybody, the song Everybody.
I forgot about that.
Remember that song?
Yeah.
Yep. She copied that and she did a good job. So, yeah, we covered those lip sync questions, and hopefully we gave you some good inside information.
There you go.
I got another comment from Facebook. This is Shawnee Christina. She says, love the podcast. You guys are so much fun, and I love reliving the 80s. So do we.
So do we.
She said, thanks for doing these podcasts. I can't wait till next Thursday. Love you guys.
Ooh,
so,
thank you.
Big shout out to Shawnee. Thank you. Nice comment. I have one more. This is from Brandy Stallings, and she's a big fan. She comments a lot, and we really appreciate it. This one she wrote, Melody Griffin is also the former spouse of Don Johnson. So she was getting into that whole Miami Vice talk we had with Marlon last week. So Melody Griffin was married to Don Johnson back in the day. She said that whole conversation really brought out memory lane for me. She said, thanks, Marlon, for, bringing all that Miami Vice stuff to the table.
Yeah, Marlon.
She also wrote, you called yourselves geeks. So apparently what geeks look like could use a different paintbrush. She said, or to quote part of a line from Can't Buy Me Love, one of our favorite films of the 80s, totally geek to totally chic. I remember that.
I remember
that
too.
Line. I remember that. That's a great line. So I guess we're totally geek, Jason,
yeah,
to totally chic.
I like it.
And she wrote, I'm wondering if the hot chic geek is a new thing. Well,
wow.
Maybe it is. If okay. not, maybe you guys can make it one. You guys are adorable. Definitely laughed out loud and had my grin for number 8. Hurry up and bring us number 9. Well, here you are. We are at number 9.
We're working it.
We're reading your comment. So there you go. That's our comments from Facebook.
Yeah, all right.
What
pretty
do you,
good.
What do
pretty
you got?
Good.
What do you got?
All right. I've got this week's email bag. Dun, 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 dun.
The email bag.
Hey, Bobby Catalano. That's
what's
how it
up? What's up?
There we go. You, Jason, and Marlon slayed that podcast. I like it.
We love to slay.
This is from Mary Alice Enright, by the way.
Thank what's up, Mary Alice?
The enthusiasm and chemistry alone made this that much more authentic and outright enjoyable. You guys killed it, and I can't wait to listen to you all next week. I will make sure to share with my peeps.
Please share.
Have a great night. Well, we did at the Huey Lewis concert, and we do.
Thank you, Mary Alice. That was awesome.
Thank you, Mary Alice.
And I think she's more of a new listener, so it's great to see new people commenting and joining us for this ride.
Yeah, I'm noticing there's a lot of new people, and we want to welcome each one of you to the awesome
man.
80s.
And we encourage everyone to please comment, write into the email, join our mailing list. I mean, we're having a good time, and we like to connect with you.
And we read everything. So if you're thinking to yourself, I'm just going to send this out here and they're going to have some read it. Well, we read everything.
Now, Jason and I definitely read everything and we appreciate it.
Yes, we are. So we've come to that moment that brings a tear to our eyes.
I'm going
to
cry. Is it over already?
It's already
what
over.
What the hell?
You know, we just keep going longer and longer and longer, too.
Let's just keep going.
Oh, man, I'm telling you.
I know, but you know what? We have some big surprises coming up in the near future, so you guys better keep listening.
Listen up, because we've got some peeps coming on the show.
Yep, so anyway, this podcast will self-destruct in 5, 4, 3, 2, 1,
and boom!
We are out of here. We'll see you later.
Bye-bye.